From Women of Africa Care. Yes, we are on episode 5 of Yellow on Air, and we are so excited for our topic today. It is Esther on Edge. We would like to give apologies for Annalene, Michelle, and Masego who couldn't make it, but we are so grateful that Sershni and I could come today and encourage our listeners, our youth listeners between the ages of 15 and 35. We want to encourage you with our topic, Esther on Edge. How are you today, beautiful, beautiful Sershni?
Oh, hi. Hello, Angelina. Hi, Yellow listeners. I'm so glad to be here. I am blessed. I'm so blessed and highly favored. Thank you.
Wonderful. Are you excited for the topic that we've got today?
Of course I am. I mean, Esther is my favorite, like my number one favorite person in the Bible. So I'm so excited.
Yes, yes, yes. And I've also, she's one of my favorite characters because of the fact of what we do in our work, in our women empowerment, is raising up Esther's, raising up women in their places of purpose. So Esther plays a very pivotal role for us in terms of what we do. We are also the voice of truth. Work on Air is the voice of truth. So we are a Esther on Air. We speak the truth boldly without compromising. So yes, Sershni, excited that we can be an Esther in this generation. As we talk about Esther on Edge, I love what Sam Chandler says. He is a writer, he's a consultant, and he's also a person that leads lots of executives across the world in terms of leadership. He wrote the book called Who Moved My Ladder, and he makes the statement, there is no such place where we can stand and say, this is the edge, because the edge is always extending itself. Otherwise, eventually, the edge becomes our comfort zone. What are your thoughts on that, Sershni?
I agree, absolutely. So in life, we are placed in situations where we have to make certain decisions and choices where we find ourselves on edge.
Yes. And, you know, if we do not go with what the Spirit of the Lord is telling us to do, we end up becoming complacent. And I think about Acts 9:31, the disciples, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They had the fear of the Lord. And the Word of God says that in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, did great things across many, many platforms, across many different towns for God. And that is what happens as children of God. We have the Spirit of God in us that enables us to operate from an edge. That means we never get to a point of comfort zone. If you are listening today, young youth, and you are in a place of comfort zone, you need to relook at your positioning in Christ Jesus, because God has given us the ability to be fruitful, to be multiplying, and to occupy the places that He's called us to influence. That means we live life on edge. We are never in a place of comfort zone. We are always going from glory to glory. You know, potential comes a potential when you haven't tapped into it. And God has put potential in us. And as we tap into each potential, we are then exploring the next level of potential, because God created us in His image and in His likeness. So He's expecting us to allow the gifts of God in us to unleash, so we go from glory to glory to glory. And a lot of people end up in a plateau because they see one level of potential being explored, and they sit and they get comfortable there. And like Sam Chandler says, there is no such place where we can stand and say, this is the edge, because the edge is always extending itself. And as we talk about Esther today, I just want to encourage our listeners with some inspiration by the Lady of the Lamp. Her name is Nightingale. She is the Lady of the Lamp. She was the nurse that raised up a group of people to go and help those people that were at war. Nightingale rose to her calling. She quickly assembled a team of 34 nurses from a variety of religious orders and sailed with them to Kremera just a few days later. Talk about being on edge, okay? Even though warned of the unpleasant conditions by her family, Nightingale decided to become a nurse and take care of the poorly unhygienic state of the hospitals that she was commissioned to serve. There were diseases and death rates were incomparable. There was contaminated water, lack of medical supplies, patients lying in feces on beds in walkways, rodents and bugs infesting the hospital. And Florence's capacity for this big purpose emerged. She wasted no time starting her jobs. She was there to create a healthy medical recovery environment and save lives. Her passion, her purpose, her position came to the forefront. Florence even got the less inflicted soldiers to join in to scrub the entire hospital from floor to ceiling. Now, this is what happened. Florence Nightingale was studying as a nurse. And there came a time where the government called upon her and said, we have at war at Cremera and we need a group of nurses to come and create a well-being medical center there because our soldiers are in trouble. So she raised up 34 nurses and off they go to this place. She, as the leader, got her hands dirty. And the first thing she did was scrub the place because she understood that to make sure soldiers medically recover, the place has to be hygiene. So she worked through the night with her nurses, scrubbing the entire inflicted feces, filthy place with making it hygiene from floor to ceiling. She and her team worked tirelessly. At night, she would walk through the dark halls with a lamp and ministered to the patients, showing compassion and comfort towards the patients. It was here that she earned the name Lady with the Lamp. She did not limit her work to just saving lives and healing wounds and sustaining hygienic conditions. She went above the call of duty on her task and established patient services such as kitchens that prepared pleasing foods for patients with special dietary requirements, a laundry service for clean linen for patients, and a classroom library for the intellectual stimulus and entertainment of her patients. Talk about going the extra mile in a very volatile environment. Hey, Sershni, she follows this experiences at the Constantinople Hospital. She writes an 830-page report of the conditions and proposes reforms which in 1857 received the attention of officials. As a result, in 1857, Florence Nightingale, the Royal Commission for Health of the Army, was established because of what she did. Her hard work earned her national accolades besides monetary awards. Now, this lady came from an upper-class community where her family loved socializing. And she used to always look outside her family socialist group and look at the people on the street and see how they lived. And it troubled her. And at the age of 16, she felt her purpose to be a nurse was confirmed. And then she went into a nursing. Her parents even tried to get her married to one of these socialites. And she said straight, no, I want to be a nurse. And the advice that this beautiful woman that lived off the edge, not one edge, extending the edge, said, live life when you have it. Life is a splendid gift. There is nothing small about it. She attributes her success to this. She never gave or took an excuse. That is what living off the edge is. She said, rather 10 times die in the surf, heralding the way to a new world, then stand idly on the shore, think one's feelings waste themselves. In words, they ought all to be distilled into actions and into actions which bring results. Instead of being idle and thinking just words, she says, go into the waters, explore. Rather keep dying and coming back to the surf and keep pushing back rather than staying at the shore and not getting off the edge. What are your thoughts of that, beautiful Serge?
Wow, that is amazing. That's explained so well. I certainly learned a lot.
Yes. So as we talk about getting out of your comfort zone and we highlight the lady of the lamp, Sershni, when we talk about Esther's edge, where was Esther's edge, in your opinion, in terms of life decisions, choices she made that placed her life on the edge?
From my perspective, Esther's edge was when Mordecai informed her that Haman is, or was rather, influenced or has influenced the king to let a decree be written that all the Jews be destroyed. So she was actually concerned for the safety of her people. When we look at Esther chapter 4 verse 13, it says, "Do not think in your heart you will escape this decree in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews." And I think that verse there also like reiterated, made Esther aware about the seriousness of this decree that was actually written out to destroy the Jews. I think that was the first one. And the second place where I feel like Esther's edge was when she had to strategize. She agreed to help Mordecai to assist in speaking to the king. Now, the thing is, she couldn't just go into the king's courts, inner courts, and speak to the king anything at all, because if anyone had to approach the king, whether male or female, you know, they would be put to death, because that was according to the law at that time. And when we look at Esther chapter 4 verse 16, she will go to the king to make a request, even though it is against the law. And if she perish, she perish. So basically, she was putting her life on the line for her people's protection and safety. I think that's where Esther's edge was, because she had to make a decision to put her life on the line to actually go ahead and approach the king, even though she was not called. Because in those years, she was not allowed, or no one was allowed to approach the king without them being ordered by the king, you know, to be seen by the king. So, yeah.
Yes, you have to get out of your comfort zone and have a voice, and especially when you know that you are one of the categories of people that the king's right-hand man wants to kill. And after what Vashti did, she has to be really bold to say, is the king going to listen to me? Because I'm really, you know, just a new queen in the house. And I have to be very careful, because exactly, the last time somebody else, Vashti, broke protocol, she was removed.
Yes.
So that was her edge. You're quite correct. You're quite correct. You know, where I also think Sershni was her edge was when her uncle said to her, when you get into the palace, do not tell them where you come from and who you are. It says here in chapter 2, verse 10, Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. Now, for me, that is an edge when you have to hide your identity, yet you still have to be yourself. I am a woman, and I don't know about you, Sershni, but I'm everything me. My personality comes out in my expressions, my thoughts, and everything about me. If you spend a little time with me, you'll know everything about me. And for a woman that has a voice, because I believe I also have a voice, and I'm not sure about you, but when you have a voice, it's very little about you you don't want to share. Because it comes out in your expressions, right? Your opinions, your perspectives, your personality brings out everything about you. And here's this woman called to the palace to be the queen. And as she's going through her 12-month beauty treatment, she's being told by her uncle, do not tell them where you come from and do not tell them your real name. Now, come on. She's got 7 maids looking after her. She's one of the favorites of the eunuch that's taking care of them. And she's put somewhere very favorable in the women's palace where they are getting their treatment. And with all of this crowd around her, imagine she's building up trust with these people, and she has to hide her heritage and her kindred. That is an edge on its own.
I agree. I agree absolutely, because also taking in consideration, there were many other women out there that were being treated, you know, getting the 12-month treatment. So the first 6 months with myrrh, and then the second 6 months of being beautified with perfumes and beauty treatments. So obviously, I could picture all the women talking about their families, saying things like, "Oh, I miss my parents. I wish they were here," you know, things like that. And they would obviously be communicating about themselves, their home, where they come from, etc. And I can also imagine, how did Esther feel? How did she feel hearing all these things going on, spoken about in her presence? Because, and she knew very well, she had to keep it a secret. She had to be quiet about it for the safety of her people. And I think that may have helped her just a little bit, where she was not able to reveal where she came from. But it was definitely not an easy thing to do.
We are built to nurture. And so that means we raise up communities and we are amongst the community. So to be quiet about who we are can be quite a challenge. That's an edge on its own when we have to be quiet. I also think about what she says here in chapter 2, verse, where is this now? It is in verse 15, where it says, "And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that looked upon her." So like you're saying, Sojourney, so it wasn't like, you know, she was, nobody liked her and she was in one little corner, so it was okay for her to hide herself. Yet she found favor amongst everybody. So she had to be transparent. Now, trying to be transparent when you have to hide your identity and your kindred is very, very, very difficult. So that is an edge on its own. Did she have an edge that got into her comfort zone? What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, she did have an edge that got into her comfort zone. There was a time that, you know, before she actually made the decision to go ahead and help Mordecai to speak to the king about the Haman's decree. And prior to that, she didn't easily give in, because she informed Mordecai via the messengers that it's, you know, it's not easy to just go to the king's inner court and inform him about this, because she could be killed. So I think that part there was comfort zone for her, because she, at that point in time, she was worried more about, I don't want to say her life at that point in time, because she was very kind and humble and she cared and loved her people a lot. But at that point in time, she also knew that there was a law put in place that no man or woman shall go before the king in the inner court without them being requested to be seen by the king. And she obviously knew that she was, her life was in danger and she would be put to death. But I think after everything was spoken about thereafter, she realized the urgency and how important it is for her to actually do something about this. Because when Mordecai says that, "Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" So I think at that point in time, when he also mentioned that to her, you know, it hit her, there was like a light bulb to say that, yes, she needs to actually do something about it. And even if she have to go to the king, even though it's against the law, she's going to do this. And if she perish, she perish. But I think at the same time, she had a plan, because she was wise. She had a plan and she had a strategy to go about doing that. Her plan was to fast, pray, and together with all the Jews, all the maidservants, as well as herself, a pray and fast for 3 days and three nights for God to intervene. So I think in the manner that she handled that was very, very wise, opposed to just going to the king, whereas, you know, without praying and fasting, which could have been a different scenario altogether. So I think that she put God first, which is amazing.
Yes, after she got out of her comfort zone, when Mordecai said to her,
after,
when he said to her, "Hey, listen, girl, If you don't do something about it, you're going to be dead and somebody else is going to be raised up to do what you were supposed to do. But I agree with you. She got into a comfort zone. Why I say comfort zone, I mean, she's in the palace. So whatever decisions and decrees happened out there as the queen, she should know about it, right? She didn't know the decree that was issued for all the Jews to be annihilated. Mordecai was wearing his sackcloth, and she sent her eunuch to go and find out why is he dressed like that and gave him other clothes to wear. She wasn't aware of why he was wearing that. She literally, I mean, this is me. If she was not in a comfort zone, she would have said, why are you wearing that? She wouldn't go and send other clothes to change his attire. She will probe and say, if he's wearing that, there must be something strategic. Something has happened. Let me go find out. Instead of finding out, she gave new clothes to him. And only then the message comes back, hey, listen, you better do something. You are there for a big purpose. And this is what's happening. A decree has been sent out to kill everybody that are Jewish. So you better rise up to the occasion. So comfort zone definitely happened when she became queen. She got comfortable in the palace and she was not vigilant until it took a loved one who was her mentor that woke her up to say, hey, listen, yeah, there's a big problem. Do something about it. What I liked about the one part that you speak about, the strategy, I believe where the strategy came was because the word of God says, when she was in the palace, she did not forget the commands and the precepts that her uncle taught her. Even though she lived in the Persian palace that worshipped idolatry, etc., she still obeyed what she was taught when she was brought up. And for me, that is so important. You know, God has raised us up, youth, yellow on air, our gospel for Grampian listeners that are youth. It is so important, your upbringing. It is so important what your parents teach you about the word of God, because God has raised us up to influence in all different environments. But if we don't have the right upbringing, we get in trouble in the places of purpose. Even though she got comfortable in the palace, she still knew the house rules. She still knew the values that Uncle Mordecai taught her. That is why Sushni said, the minute her uncle told her what was happening, she immediately went on a fast. She knew, okay, I can't do this on my own. I grew up in an environment that when God needs to help me, I need to go on a fast and I need to pray, and I understand corporate prayer is important. Had she not learned that in her upbringing, when she was in a place of purpose that is full of idolatry and whatever else, she would have not known what to adopt. And therefore, she would not have had divine strategy. I believe, Sushni, the reason she had such amazing strategy, like you said, it was because she waited on God through the fast. Because when we wait on the Lord, he gives us strategy and boldness and courage, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, for our youth out there, we are saying to you, the word of God and your church family is your Mordecai. They are the Mordecais that help you follow the word of God, because the word of God is a book of instructions that teaches us about the kingdom of God, that teaches us who God is, that teaches us who we are, and that teaches us the success in life is based on the word of God, because the word Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he said, it is written. When our beautiful Eve was tempted in the Garden of Eden, she did not say it is written. The devil twisted her because she had lack of knowledge. We can be an Eve in our places of influence if we don't have the word of God, or we can be a Jesus in our place of influences because we've decided to apply the word of God. And the reason Esther was successful in her place of influence was because she lived in Mordecai's house, who had taught her the word of God. Okay?
I agree. I think our upbringing is vitally important. And Esther really, she did obviously remember what she was taught by Mordecai, who took care of her when she was little after her parents passed away. And that just reminds me of a scripture in the Bible where it says, instruct a child in the ways of the Lord when they are young, and they will not part from the ways of God. You know, so whatever we instill in our children, or whatever children I taught, you know, from young, they will remember that and they will grow up with that. So I think Esther remembered all that Mordecai had taught her, that really helped her during this time where she really needed to not just jump and, you know, approach the king, knowing the dangers, but to do it in a wise manner.
In a wise manner. I love that. We get to the next point about Esther's strategy to challenge Haman, the Agagite, who has a history of attacking Israel. And this time he's out to annihilate the entire Jewish community in Persia. Now, some history on the Agagites. When the Israelites had gotten over the Red Sea, and as they were in the wilderness, the Amalekites came forth and attacked them. And God said that throughout the generations, the Lord will fight the Amalekites, because they just hated the Jews. They were anti-Semitic. And you see that happen in Israel today. And so they just went out and they just want to kill the Jews. And when it seems like that pattern followed through the Benjamin tribe, because Saul came from the Benjamin tribe. And God had warned Saul through Samuel that when the Amalekites come against you, you must get rid of everything, everything, all the animals, all the people. Don't keep any spoils. Now, Benjamin, you will remember when Jacob had blessed them, he said, Benjamin will come like a raven wolf in the mornings and fight, and in the evening they will divide the spoil, because he knew what they were going to do. And that is exactly what Saul did. He was supposed to wipe out every single thing in the Amalekite camp. He kept the king Agag alive, and he kept some of the best sheep and oxen alive, and he gave some a sacrifice. And that's where God said that obedience is better than sacrifice. When Samuel had went there, he heard the animals bleating, and he knew Agag was alive. So he said to Saul, because you disobeyed God in not wiping out the Amalekites, you are going to be removed from the throne. Because God knew that the Amalekites were going to continue through the generations to come against the Jewish nation. And interesting enough, Sershni, we see that same spirit through Haman, the Agagite, that comes now into this whole wiping out of the Jewish people in Persia. And what I loved about the strategy between Mordecai and Esther was they learned from their forefathers, from King Saul, what wasn't working. When they went out and they issued, the king gave them favor to reverse the decree and to destroy the Haman's teams that were out to go and destroy the Jewish nation. What I loved about it is they destroyed all the spoil. They didn't keep any of the spoil for themselves. So today I'm talking to our youth out there. It is important for you to understand the patterns of our generational blessings and our generational curses. Because Esther knew the generational pattern of the Amalekites coming against the Benjamite tribe, she made sure that she and Mordecai, that when the Amalekite spirit came against them, they wouldn't repeat history and do what their uncle Saul, who was king in two or three generations before, had done. They learned, and the Bible says that when they went out to fight the people that came against the Jewish nation in Persia, they destroyed all the spoil. We ask you today, youth, know your generational patterns. The Bible says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, rulers, and principalities. The Bible says, be vigilant, for the devil is like a roaring lion going to and fro the earth, seeing whom he may devour. The things of this dark world is real. Youth, you can't be ignorant of it. When you look at where life has become and what is happening in the world out right now, it is like darker than Sodom and Gomorrah. So we got to become aware of the forces that are coming and lying to us and deceiving us. we stand for in young adult life orientation is the voice of truth. We want to raise up youth to be who God has called them to be. You are either a male by birth or you're a female by birth. You're nothing different to what God created you. And if we don't be like Mordecai, as Yellow on Air, and say to the youth, listen, these are the rules. Abide by the rules, and wherever you go in the world, it will not mess you up. I mean, I think about certainly the word of God. Every time when God sent Israel to go into their promised land, he said, abide by the rules and you'll be safe. You break the rules, I cannot help you. Because either follow God's way or you follow the devil's way. If you follow the devil's way, God is restrained because you have free will. If you follow God's way, then your choice in God gives God the authority to stop the enemy. But if you follow the devil's way, because of free choice, God cannot help you because you chose to follow the enemy. And so it's important for us to have rules in place. We are living in a dispensation where we have to set our own discipline, or else the discipline in the world is going to teach us their ways. And I mean, I don't know about you, Sershni, but I'm talking to the youth today. I grew up in an environment where my parents told me the teachers in school are my second parents, and I got to listen to them. And it was a safe place for us to have teachers in school as a second parent, because they lived by the same rules that we grew up in our home. But in this dispensation where we are living now, parents don't even have a say for their children going to school. And so it's important for us as youth and parents, if you are listening today to this discussion, it's important for you to raise up your children in the home on the word of God. It's important for you to teach your children. It's important for you to know what your children are learning in school. Because if you don't know what they're learning in school and they want to be the teacher's favorite, they're going to listen to everything the teacher is saying to them. And if the teacher is not God-fearing, then those children are going to be messed up. And it defeats everything that we do in terms of empowering youth if we have leaders out there that are not influential. And why I'm saying this, please understand this, Yellow on Air. We talk about Esther and we talk about Vashti. Vashti was a woman of influence. Why we say that? When she said she's not going to go to the king when he called her to put on her beautiful crown and come and parade, the men that worked for him said straight, if you don't sort Vashti out, all the women are going to do to us the way she treated you. They're not going to listen to us. They're not going to honor us. And they're not going to submit to us. So King Ahasuerus, you have to do something to correct her. Because she had that position of influence, they understood that all the ladies were going to disobey their husbands if the king didn't correct her thinking. So what happened? The minute Vashti was removed from queen, the king literally, Sershni, wrote a decree to tell every household, women, you must honor your husband, and women, you must submit to him. So why we're saying that today, Yellow on Air, is that if you are between the ages of 15 and 35, God has opened up a platform for you in this dispensation through what's happening in the world to give youth the ability to be leaders, the ability to be heard, the ability to have social influence. So you have influence, and how you behave is going to affect the next generation. It's going to affect the little children that are growing up and are growing up in a very dark environment. Youth of today, you are the future parents that are going to influence the next generation. And if you don't have values and you don't have principles, then whatever wrong you do, the next generation are going to follow it. So it is important for you to have a good value system, or else you're going to have chaos with the next generation. I'm bringing this up because you are called to lead young adults. Your value system matters in your family, in your friends, and in the communities, because social influence has such a big role in terms of people's identity. What are your thoughts on that, Sershni?
Absolutely. Those people that surround us, our friends, Our friends have a huge influence in our life, our families, likewise. That is why we should always stay with people, have people in our circle that are encouraging, uplifting, that knows the word of God, and, you know, just like uplifting us when we need to be uplifted, and whom we can learn from and whom we can help as well.
And that ties to our question, why are Mordecais necessary for young adults entering the palace life? Exactly for what we are saying now. If we don't have people out there that teach the youth the word of God, then the youth are going to go wayward and they're going to fall apart and there's going to be corruption in their places of influence. Now, who is your Mordecai youth? First and foremost, God. God is your Mordecai. You are big enough to have a relationship with the Lord. The minute you are at the age of understanding, which is about 7 or 8 years old, you can have a relationship with the Lord. And that is where you begin to develop this value system. Because when you know God, you are able to know yourself. Then when you know God, you are able to develop a value system. And when you develop that value system, you know you are protected. Because when things come against you, you are not going to run to the wrong crowds or the wrong information to define who you are or to resolve your problem. You are going to do exactly what Esther did. Esther was not in the 30s and 40s when she became queen. Esther was a virgin. She was a young girl because they had recruited virgins. She was a young girl. What is that beauty treatment? That beauty treatment is maturing her. I mean, think about it. She had 7 maids and a beauty treatment. That 7 maids is an illustration of the Holy Spirit because the menorah in the holy place has got 7 candles. So that 7 maids was the Holy Spirit, as an illustration of the Holy Spirit, helping her and grooming her to be a queen. So youth, age 15 and 35, and you are saying, I want to be a person of influence because the stage has been opened for us to be people of influence. Then you have to go through your beauty treatment. And your beauty treatment, first and foremost, is the Holy Spirit. How do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? In episode 2, episode 3, episode 4, Sershni and the team spoke about relationship with the Lord, how to pray, how to read the word of God. Those are your beauty treatment. First and foremost, before Esther became queen, she had to go through a beauty treatment. Know the word of God and wash herself with the word of God. Because the Bible says we wash ourselves with the word of God. That is the beauty treatment of the oil in the mirror. The oil is the anointing, washing the mirror. And then the 7 maids is the Holy Spirit. The word of God says the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth and righteousness. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, the counselor, the advocate. Exactly what the 7 maidens did to Esther is what God does for us. Your Mordecais and your beauty treatment is God and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Youth, we are saying today that God has called us into our places of influence, which is our palace. And why I say that is because the Bible says we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a chosen generation. If you choose to do good, then you will follow that palace life. Wherever God has called you to influence youth, you will follow that palace life if you be like Esther and you allow the word of God, which is the Mordecais, and your relationship with God, and you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Then you can be a queen or a king in the place of influence. The Bible says that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That means every born-again Christian has been in the rebirth, in the reborn state, being identified in the Father's eyes as kings and lords. That means we are royalty. That means that same beauty treatment Esther went through, we go through it. If we don't go through beauty treatment, we end up being in the palace, but being terrible people, evil people, corrupt people. And then in the day of judgment, if you read the book of Revelations, in the day of judgment, we are in trouble because we chose to ignore what the word of God is saying. encourage the youth today, Soshni?
Thank you so much, Jelena. I'd like to say to you youth out there, if you see yourself as an Esther, and you may be in a situation where your life has not been easy, but look at Esther's life. I mean, Esther did not have a good life. She did not have a parents. Her parents passed away when she was a little girl. And God had taken her from that. He had prepared her during those years. I believe that God prepared her during those years. She had to go through a lot of pain of losing her parents to be able to get to her purpose, which was the palace, for such a time as saving her people. I think that, like the Bible even says, that God created us and he knew us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. And because of that reason, he knows everything about us, where we're going to go, places we're going to work, etc., etc. And he knew Esther, and Esther was created for that purpose, but she had to go through some pain in her life to be able to get to where she was. And so I want to say to you out there, you may be in the same situation. You may be in a situation where you didn't have a good childhood, but just hold on to God and trust and believe, have faith in him. For the plans that he has for you is to prosper you and not to harm you. It's for a hope and for a future. So just hold on to that. And for the male out there, you know, David, I mean, look at David and the other male characters in the Bible. I mean, David was a shepherd boy, but he had to go through so many challenges as well. And eventually he became king. So do not let the challenges in your life define who you are and your purpose. Thank you.
I love what you're saying, Soshni. I mean, even David washed himself in the word. If you look at all the Psalms that he wrote, he said, teach me to do your will, Lord. Teach me your ways. Teach me your precepts. I long and I thirst after you. And I believe that in Esther, the Mordecai is the word of God. In David's life, literally the Psalms talking about his relationship with God. And I can encourage you today, youth. I'm reading here in chapter 9. When you understand that God is your Mordecai, he is your God and he will protect you. When he tells you speak, you are protected. When he tells you, be still, be still. Youth, today we encourage you. You need God. You can't do this on your own. You can't be independent of God and think you will succeed. We see this. Here's beautiful, beautiful Esther in the palace, having a position of queen, having favor with everybody in the palace. But when it came for her to be a voice, she had to first call on God in order to go to the king. And she had to be bold enough to tell the king, listen, this is my identity and your right-hand man is going to kill me. Where you are going and what God has called you to do, youth, you need God. And when you got God on your side, this is what happens. Look to what happened in chapter 9. Chapter 9. And this is what the word of God says. When the king reversed the decree, gave favor to the Jewish people, the leaders, Mordecai had favor with the leaders. When you have God on your side, youth, you have favor. This is what it says in chapter 9, verses 3. And no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all the people. The people were afraid of Mordecai and the Jewish people because God was on their side. And all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and the officers of the king helped the Jews because of the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. Mordecai is an illustration of God. I mean, Soshni, Esther was queen of a country that had 127 provinces. That's how big that region was. 127 provinces. And so you have got this idol nation, Persia, that are leading. And here suddenly the fear of Mordecai fell upon all those people. And Mordecai is an illustration depicting God. When we have God on our side, youth, it doesn't matter how big the kingdom is, how big the country is. If God has raised you up to be a voice in government or a voice in your community or a voice in your economy, the people will be afraid of you because greater is God that is in you than he that's in the world. And, you know, I brought this up before. They understood what didn't work in their past. They understood the generational curses and the generational blessings. That when they defeated the Agagites in that region, they knew what they mustn't touch. Look what it says here. It specifically says it here in verse 10 of chapter 9. The 10 sons of Haman, the sons of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, were slain, but on the spoil laid they not their hand. Esther and Mordecai and the Jewish nation knew, do not touch the spoil of the Agagites. So they knew and learned from their patterns of the past, don't be greedy and have lust of the flesh, because the Benjamites would go to war and suddenly divide the spoils amongst themselves. So listening to God and the instructions of God is so important, because you know, you can be in a place of victory and get carried away by the victory and forget the instructions that God gives you. If he says destroy everything, destroy everything. The Lord will provide. So as we end today, this topic around Esther having an edge, we trust that you were blessed by what we are saying. And we're saying to you that God is raising up a generation of youth, a Joshua generation that needs to make the gospel of Jesus Christ across the world by the way they live it out. The Bible says that we are the light of the world by the word of God that's in us. So we are speaking to the youth out there. The world needs your light. So in order for you to have light, you need to have the word of God in you, allowing the spirit of God, the menorah in your life. The Holy Spirit lightens the word and gives you revelation of the word so that you can walk in your place of purpose. So you need the word of God and you need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit puts revelation on the word so it makes it easy for you to understand. It gives you revelation so that you can walk in your place of purpose. So we're encouraging youth today. The world needs your light. The children that are adolescent, that are kindergarten, that are in primary school, need you, youth. They need you. And if you don't have your light burning, what is the next generation going to have for them? Are they going to follow the patterns of animal instincts? Are they going to follow the pattern of the 50 gender different definitions that one of the countries in America are following? There's one country in America, they've got over 50 definitions for gender. If you don't shine your light, beautiful youth, our children that are coming up are going to be messed up, confused, and dark, and their place will be hell if nobody gets the light out to them. So we are encouraging you, youth, today, be the light, shine your light by having the Spirit of God close to you. He is a person. Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. He's sent from heaven to have a relationship with you. The Bible says he sticks closer than a friend. Have that relationship with him. The Bible says he's all powerful. He's all knowing. And he's ever present with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. When you begin to read the word, he lights it up and he makes it so beautiful for you to understand it. Therefore, you can eat the word because it'll ingest in you and you'll be satisfied. And when you do that, you become bright. And then every darkness around you will be removed because you become the light for those little children that are needing light in this very dark world. Some few words before we say goodbye, Sershni.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you, Angelina. I just want to say it was amazing. I learned a lot from the subject about Esther. Esther's edge. I just want to say to you, youth, just trust in God, because if God's favor is on you, nothing and no one can do anything to harm you. God has created you for a purpose. Focus on God and he will give you the strength to fulfill it.
Beautiful, Sershni. Pray for our youth today.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. We say thank you for this day. We say thank you for the youth out there. Father, we thank you for leading, guiding, and directing us in all our ways according to your will, plan, and purpose for our life. I pray, O Father God, that the word that has been spoken now will touch the hearts of your people. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving them revelation knowledge of everything that have been spoken about. I thank you for directing their paths. Thank you for giving them boldness and courage and strength to carry out the task that you have assigned for them according to their purpose. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that they will not draw weary, but they will still be strong. We thank you, Father, for this time of fellowship. We thank you, Father God, for your grace and your favor to be upon our listeners, even as you have had favor and grace over Esther's life. We thank you for that grace and favor over the youth. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, beautiful Sershni, for this lovely prayer. So our young adult life-oriented beautiful youth that are listening on to Gospel for Grampian today. We've got Sammy Pizzo singing an amazing song, one of my favorites, and it's called Stay. It's basically staying in the presence of the Lord. The original artist is William McDowell. I encourage you to listen and enjoy this beautiful praise and worship. And as you listen to it, enjoy the presence of our Heavenly Father. And in doing that, I believe that you will be able to settle in and get the revelation of everything that we've spoken today. Remember, I'm not part of the youth crew. I am the founder of Women of Africa Care, and I'm filling in for Masego today. And see me today as being a Mordecai that's trying to shift you, Esther, and get you out of your comfort zone, Esther, into your palace and place of purpose. We love you, and Masego and the crew will be with you next week. A beautiful thank you to you, Sershni, for joining me on this wonderful, wonderful topic, Esther on Edge. Yellow, Gospel for Grampian listeners, go on edge. Get out of your comfort zone. We love you. Ta-ta.
To be in the presence of the Lord, and I know what time it is, because time stood still, and bodies were healed. Families restored, because we stayed here in the presence of the Lord. No one had to say a word, couldn't even make a and I give up everything for these treasures I found, I never wanted to end. So stay, I don't want you to go. Cause my heart is burning in your presence, Lord. Please stay. Burning in your presence. presence, Lord. I want more. I want more. I want more. Jesus, I want more. I want more. Every day of my life, Jesus. Ooh, I want more of you, Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Jesus. I want more. If you need him more, him. Jesus, we pray for more of you. More of you, Jesus. We pray for your Spirit, your Holy Spirit within our homes, Jesus. We want more of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We want more of you, Jesus. We pray for more of you. We pray for your visitation. We want more of you, Jesus. We open up our hearts to you, Jesus. We want more of you, we're hungry for you. Our hearts are ready, our hearts are open, Jesus. We want more of you, Jesus. If you want more of him, call on him. Ooh, we want more of you, we want more of you, Jesus. Hey, Jesus, we want more. So I stay where else will I go? My heart is burning. My heart is burning. My heart is burning. For you, Jesus, my heart is burning. In your presence, Lord.